bending the rules, the Obama administration cuts back on business regulation.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in New York, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith, in for Steve Chiatakis. The White House is set to release plans today to cut hundreds of regulations for companies. It's part of an effort to appear more business-friendly and could help save firms billions of dollars. Here to talk about this with us is our very own Nancy Marshall-Genzer. She joins us live from Washington, D.C. Good morning, Nancy.
Hey, Stacey.
So, Nancy, what are some of the regulations that are getting cut?
Well, there's one rule that requires gas stations to install valves on pumps to keep gas vapors from escaping when you fill up. Now, that's redundant because there's already technology on cars that does exactly the same thing. Hmm. The Environmental Protection Agency is allowing more paperwork to be filed electronically. The Department of Homeland Security is going to expedite clearance of low-risk travelers through security at airports. And the Transportation Department will only apply certain railroad safety rules where they're actually needed. Imagine that. The White House says the new railroad policy alone will save up to $340 million.
Nancy, presidents have done some streamlining type things like this before, right?
Oh, yes. We've heard this idea over and over and over, Stacey. Just about every president since Jimmy Carter has proposed eliminating red tape. Al Gore promised to reinvent government when he was vice president. This latest effort began with an executive order from President Obama in January. Now, Stacey, I spoke with Paul Light about all this. He's a professor of public service at NYU, and he says the Obama administration is just nibbling around the edges, making small changes.
They don't have much of an impact. It's the big ticket items, whether it's full-scale government reorganization to make agencies work better. Those are big ticket items and difficult to do, and they're nearly impossible to do through executive order.
The Obama administration, Nancy, is saying this regulatory streamlining will encourage hiring, will encourage businesses to hire. Is that, will it?
Well, Stacey, it's hard to say because there are a lot of reasons companies aren't creating jobs right now. Some business groups say the real problem here is regulations from new laws like the healthcare and financial reform laws. The National Association of Manufacturers say the new regulations are more of a, in their words, a threat to job creation.
Nancy Marshall-Genzer, thank you.
You're welcome.
The situation in Libya has pushed oil prices up this morning. They're more than $85 a barrel. More on that in a minute. But oil's not getting the markets down today. London's FTSE is up almost 1%. Germany's DAX is up more than 1%. Asian markets rose as well. Yesterday, U.S. markets rose. The Dow Jones Industrial Average finished the day at 10,854. UBS plans to lay off 3,500 workers. The Swiss bank says it needs to cut costs. Last week, of course, Bank of America announced it was cutting 3,500 jobs as well. And the head of Standard & Poor's is stepping down. Devin Sharma will leave the ratings agency next month. Questions have been heating up about S&P's downgrade of U.S. debt, though the agency says that's not why he's leaving.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Reputation.com, helping small business owners, professionals, and executives monitor, protect, and improve their online reputations. Reputation.com. And by IBM, working to help mid-sized businesses become the engines of a smarter planet. Learn more at IBM.com/engines. Marketplace Innovation Reporting is supported by the 2011 Jaguar XJ. Learn more at a local dealer or at jaguarusa.com.
Yesterday, it seemed victory was at hand for Libyan rebels. Today, the situation looks a lot dicier. One of Colonel Muammar Gaddafi's sons has reappeared, and rebels have retreated from parts of Tripoli. George Jaffe is a research fellow at Cambridge University's Center of International Studies. He joins me now. Good morning, George.
Good morning.
The Libyan rebels seem to have been victorious yesterday, although today that's looking less sure. How does that affect the current situation in Libya?
That depends really for how long it lasts. If control of Tripoli is made quickly, then it probably won't have a lasting effect. If it persists and the city is divided, then I think there are going to be disastrous consequences. But putting that to one side and assuming that in fact the conflict will wind down in the next few days, then the major problems that the new authorities are going to face is the way in which they're going to restore the economy of Libya, particularly the oil industry, because without that, there isn't going to be funding to pay for the reconstruction that's going to be necessary.
Obviously, Libya has a lot of oil. Does the presence of oil make it more difficult or less difficult to reconstruct, to build an economy? Obviously, there's money there, but also a lot of competing political interests, potentially.
Well, the problem is that the money is there, but it's frozen. So the first problem that the authorities are going to face is how they're going to unfreeze it. But they've got an even more important short-term problem. And the immediate short-term problem is going to be how they're going to guarantee security for Libyans. That quite apart from Tripoli, there's still resistance in the center of the country, and that could be very difficult to reduce.
Well, speaking of political conflicts, we've been hearing a lot of comparisons to Iraq in the last few days. Is that a fair comparison? Is Libya potentially facing the same issues that Iraq has?
No, I don't think so. If you remember, the problems in Iraq arose because of the way in which the Saddam Hussein regime was destroyed by an external intervention. Now, that's not been the case in Libya. There have not been foreign troops on the ground. Indeed, they're expressly forbidden. Libyans can now, with full sovereignty, take control of their own country. That means that the problems that will arise will be purely internal, and that will be quite unlike the situation in Iraq, where there was an external target for the insurgents to direct their anger against.
George Jaffe is a lecturer at the Department of Politics and International Studies at Cambridge University. George, thank you so much for joining us.
You're very welcome.
And finally, Kellogg is complaining a Mayan cultural heritage group stole its logo. The Maya Archaeology Initiative uses a toucan as part of its trademark. Kellogg says it's too reminiscent of Fruit Loops cereal frontman Toucan Sam. Hey, maybe this could set a precedent and Little Caesars could finally make its case against ancient Rome. In New York, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith, and this is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
When the ultrasound machine was introduced in Asia, self-selective abortions erupted across the continent, resulting in 160 million missing girls.
People see this machine as really a way to ensure them a boy.
I'm Bob Moon, new medical technology with unintended consequences. Next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.